WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
Yo, 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 what is up, beautiful people? Yes, another day, another dollar. Welcome to Current Sports. As always, I am your host, Al Martin. We've got a great show in store for you today. I took a trip out to NCG Cinema yesterday in Lansing and got a chance to witness the premiere of The Cager. You guys remember that, right? That's right. MSU men's basketball player Keenan Wetzel has been working on this project for quite some time now and is finally saw it pay dividends, folks. That's right. The release was last night. Tom Izzo was there along with his Keenan's teammates from the MSU men's basketball team. You'll get to hear from Keenan and all of them and so much more in just a sec. Also, Andrew Hayes from Impact Sports was also in the house. Andrew will join me in just a sec to talk about that moment. He actually got a chance to view that 25-minute short film. We'll also talk about the Detroit Tigers bringing Jabba Chamberlain back. How about that? And also the NFL Combine. Where will the Spartans go? Some impressive performances these last few days from a few green and white players. Also, Top 5 Tuesday highlights the top 5 things to be positive about from this year's University of Michigan men's hoop season. So you don't want to miss that. We'll have all of that and so much more, but as custom here on Current Sports, let's start this party like we always do. Here are your Current Sports quick hit headliners for this February 24th. Hey, folks, how about we start on the Lynx? Yes, the Lynx. Now, I know that may be a little bit weird because the weather here in Michigan is just bad. But both the Michigan State men's and women's golf teams were in action on Monday in tournament play. How about that? Now, the men's team is playing in the Mobile Sports Authority Intercollegiate, where they are currently tied for sixth place with a 14 over 590, while the women's team is tied for 13th with a 24 over 312 in the All-State Sugar Bowl Intercollegiate. Now, Mitch Rutledge has placed the men's team as he is tied for sixth with a 144 at Gabby Urich and leads the women with a 151. Now, in separate individual play, John Finley and Gates Muller are tied for 18th and 26th respectively for the men's team, and Jackie Sedis has shot a 163 so far for the women's team. We'll be keeping you updated in the coming days as both of those tournaments wind down. The Detroit Red Wings, they dropped a road contest to the Anaheim Ducks last night, losing 4-3 in a shootout. Pavel Datsyuk, he scored 2 goals for the second straight game for Detroit, and Riley Sheehan added another goal near the end of the third period to force OT. Now, the Wings are now 3-9 in shootout games this year. The Detroit Pistons, in the midst of a 2-game win streak since the All-Star break, they take on the Cleveland Cavaliers tonight at the Palace. Now, the Pistons are currently 1 game back of the final playoff spot in the Eastern Conference as the postseason race heats up with just 2 months left in the NBA's regular season. All right, former NBA All-Star Meta World Peace is now an assistant coach for the Pilisade High School. I probably just butchered that. Pilisade High School girls basketball team. The LA City High School is the alma mater of World Peace's daughter, and head coach Torino Johnson says World Peace will be heavily involved with the program. How about that? All right, Michael Sam is set to be on this season's cast of Dancing with the Stars. Now, Sam is, of course, the first openly gay player drafted in the NFL. He was picked in the 7th round by the St. Louis Rams in the NFL draft last season and spent time on the Dallas Cowboys practice squad in his first year as a professional. All right, Marshawn Lynch, I tell you what, his name never stops being in our headliners. Marshawn Lynch is looking to trademark his, quote, "I'm just here so I won't get fined," line that he used, of course, at Super Bowl Media Day earlier this month. Now, Lynch filed his claim with the U.S. Patent and Trademark last week, and the line will appear on items of Lynch's clothing line, Beast Mode, if granted. I tell you one thing about Marshawn, he is all about the Benjamins, baby. I kind of like that. All right, former Louisville Cardinal basketball player Chris Jones was released from the program on Sunday after sending a threatening text to his girlfriend. Now, Jones was suspended for the Syracuse game, but was reinstated for Saturday's game versus Miami. Jones, who was averaging almost 14 points and 4 assists a game, is planning to meet with former NBA player John Lucas to work on his anger management problems. Yeah, I think that's a pretty good idea. All right. And golf instructor Butch Harmon said in an interview with Golf World that he will be willing to help Tiger Woods if Woods wanted the help. Now, Harmon was, of course, Woods' swing coach from 1996 until 2002 when the two parted ways. That was such a dominant period, of course, for Tiger Woods on the links. Now, Woods has not won a major since 2008 and is currently taking a leave of absence to work on his game. Oh, interesting to say the least. Well, those are your current sports quick hit headliners. If you want to call in and give your thoughts on any of those or anything on your sports noggin, you know that number, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. You can also go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports. Leave us a comment there. I'll read it live on the air. And I'll also read your tweets right here on the air. Tweet me at AlMartinWKR. And if you don't want to tweet me, hey, at least follow me, okay? I'm trying to hit 2,000 by the end of the year, all right? All right, without further ado, how about we start this party? Folks, well, we've got a great show in store for you all. Again, as mentioned at the start of the show, I got a chance to check out the premiere. Well, I actually didn't get to see the premiere. I was there, though, to witness the atmosphere, at least, at NCG Theater in Lansing, Michigan. The premiere of The Cager. How about that, huh? I remember when we had Keenan Wetzel on not too long ago, I believe last year around the summertime, in the planning stages of The Cager. Keenan was on the show to talk about the planning stages and also to mention how people could get involved and donate towards the cause of creating The Cager. Of course, The Cager stars former MSU hoop star Delvon Rowe. How about that? Now, Delvon was not in the house last night because he's actually out in L.A. auditioning for certain parts. I don't want to reveal what parties, because I don't know if I can say it on the air. I did get the inside scoop of what Delvon is auditioning for. But, hey, Delvon seems to be doing his thing out in L.A., trying to, you know, pad that actor resume. And he's the star in The Cager. Now, of course, as mentioned at the start of the show also, I'm joined now by Andrew Hayes, who was a outstanding student here for us here on Current Sports Radio, and is now, of course, doing some fantastic work, continues to do so with Impact Sports. Andrew was also in the house. My man Andrew Hayes, how you doing, Andrew?
Just fine, Al. How are you today?
Fantastic. Now, you are in the house. I tell you what, I was looking like a bum last night. You and I joked about this before we took the air, because I had no idea how fancy this event was going to be. I mean, I walked in and I'm seeing suits and ties and a red carpet, and you had the Cager banner in the background, interviews being done. A very fancy affair. I walked in with a Scully in Timberland boots and jeans. I'm sitting there, oh, okay, I'm totally underdressed for this thing. But you were in the house. You got a chance to talk with Izzo, of course. I saw you with Denzel Valentine eating popcorn. Pretty cool feature done. I mean, what was your impressions of last night? It was pretty cool, if you ask me.
That was a really awesome event. You know, you think movie premiere in East Lansing, Michigan, it's not going to be anything fancy. But they did a nice job with that last night. They made it feel like a big time deal. And it kind of was. I mean, this is a project that a lot of guys have put a lot of time into, and they turned out a pretty good product.
Yeah, certainly. You know, the thing about that's so impressive about Keenan putting this whole film together is that, yeah, he is a member of one of the most preeminent men's college basketball teams in the nation. And he was able to balance his schedule with putting together this film while also being a member of the team. And that's something I definitely had to ask Tom Izzo, Brandon Dawson, and, of course, Keenan about, because when I think about that, it just kind of blew my mind. Here it is.
I want to talk about your schedule for a minute because, of course, you were planning this film along with being a member of the MSU men's basketball team. What kind of schedule on a daily basis? And did you get kind of stressed out at any point, Keenan?
Absolutely. I'm still stressed out. No, but it was the whole thing where I worked a lot at night. So when we were done with all of our basketball stuff, and then at 9 o'clock or so, we'd take meetings and do things. So it was a lot of night work, but you know, I lost a little bit of sleep, but I'm doing things. I'm busy, but I'm doing all the things I love, so I can't complain at all.
How in the world did Keenan balance the rigorous schedule that you guys have with this? I mean, putting together a film, it's unbelievable.
You know, we talked about it this summer, and at times this summer, I said, are you crazy?
It was definitely hard for him to balance it. You know, Coach, like I said, you know, Coach ripped him, you know, for spending too much time, you know, with the whole movie thing. But, I mean, you know, this is his dream.
I'm just proud of him for doing it, you know. I think he's really learned to balance his time. He hasn't cheated us in any way, shape, or form, and he's been injured a little bit, too, so that's made it even more difficult. But It's kind of fun to watch him grow as a person.
My goal has always been to play college basketball and then direct film. You know, my goals were never to play in the NBA. It wasn't a dream of mine. So now knowing that since I was 6 years old, I wanted to direct film, now to kind of get to that point where I was like, okay, now it's time to kind of move a little bit away from basketball and use basketball as kind of a tool to now start my film career. So, you know, it's kind of my plan to do this, and it's kind of been working really well, and I'm really excited to premiere it.
Yeah, and you can catch the visual of that report right now on WKAR.org. Again, you just heard from Keenan Wetzel there, Tom Izzo, and also Brandon Dawson on the premiere of The Cager last night. Now, I didn't get a chance to stick around and stay to watch the film itself. Now, Andrew, you actually stuck around. I had to get back to the office, finish up some things, actually post that report on WKAR.org. But what were your overall takes of the film? I didn't get a chance to see it.
I thought it was pretty good. I mean, the story itself is a very interesting one and very relevant to college sports today. You know, it's a guy who had aspirations to be in the NBA, kind of banked everything on that, and that didn't happen. And now it kind of shows you the aftermath of what happens when basketball is no longer there and no longer a way to make money. The story itself was really good. It was awesome to see Delvon Rowe in any capacity on a screen. At one point in the movie, he shoots a basketball, and it made me so happy just to see that again.
Just to see him playing again,
just
right?
To see him shoot the ball. It was like, all right, like he, and not to mention the dude is still like 9'12". It looks right. Like he's about to hit his head on every ceiling of the movie, so that's kind of funny too. But
yeah,
no, it was, and especially for a first movie for Keenan, it was very well put together. And you know, a lot of first films will be choppy and kind of tough to watch, but
yeah,
a lot of it was very smooth flowing, and it was a very, very good film.
I got to ask the question that a lot of people are out there thinking about right now that are listening to the show. Can Delvon act? How was his acting performance? If Andrew Hayes had to grade his acting performance on a scale from 1 to 5, where would that scale lie?
See, like, this is tough. All right,
putting you on the spot. You're a critiquer at the Oscars or something.
I'm gonna give him a B-, and okay. Here's why. He did a nice job. You could tell it was kind of his first like lead where he had to put a lot of different emotions and stuff like that onto the screen, and
yeah,
some of it didn't quite make it in there. But no, he's got a ways to go, but he'll get there. So I know that's a wishy-washy answer, but Delvon Rowe's a scary man, and I know he's out in L.A.
Right, you don't want, if he's listening right now, yeah, you don't want him to find you and you might be on the 10 o'clock news one day, all right? We don't want that, Andrew. But okay, we got to check it out right now. I think, so that was the premiere of The Cager. I'm not sure if people can view, when people can view it. Do you know anything about that?
They said there's a film festival in Detroit this weekend where it will be screened. And then after that, it's just kind of private showings right now. They're working with a lot of different people. They're trying to work with Mark Hollis has had a big role in this. This was according to Wetzel after the thing. They had a Q&A.
Mm-hmm.
He said Mark Hollis is trying to show it to the selection committee for the NCAA tournament so that they can see it and hopefully use that at some of their schools because – like I said, it is a cautionary tale, and it's something that's very relevant, not just for college basketball, but I think for a lot of college sports and athletes in general. So that seemed to be a very promising route for this movie, for it to be released to other schools to kind of say, you know, basketball isn't everything.
Yeah, and that is true. And I think, you know, that can certainly hold true for any sport because – you know, when you look at the statistics of, you know, college athletes, I mean, not all of them. I mean, there's only a select few, handful, a very small percentage of those that can have this ultimate success
at the professional level. Like my mom always told me, you know, when I had this dream when I was young of possibly going to the NBA, you see how that turned out, right? But, you know, she's told me always to have a plan B. You always have to have a plan B, and I think this film really speaks to that. I had no idea that Mark Hollis, though, had such a big hand in that, though. But, you know, and also, you know, talking to Keenan last night, something that really stood out to me, Andrew, was the fact that, you know, we sometimes as media members and as the public alike, I mean, when we see these kids, you know, play on the hardwood, we forget that they, not all of them have those dreams and aspirations, as you just heard from Keenan, of making it to that level. They have other interests, you know what I mean? And it kind of just kind of woke me up to say, hey, you know, Brandon Dawson and Travis Trice, and sure, those players, they certainly may want to play at the next level, but there's more to them than that, you know, and it kind of woke me up in that regard as well.
Well, and the other thing is, you know, I thought that was kind of the cool thing last night, and listening to your interview with Keenan, it reminded me of this. It was kind of weird last night that the roles were reversed. Right. Usually at the basketball games, we want to talk to Brandon Dawson. We want to find out what he thinks about all this stuff. Last night, it was all about Keenan Wetzel. And I thought he handled that spotlight really well, and he looked really comfortable doing that. And one other thing, just to add on to your point of, you know, life after college, it was cool last night to have two guys in the building, both Keenan Wetzel and Dan Chapman, former MSU basketball player, two guys that have already made that decision, that they know that as much as they love the sport of basketball, that's not where the rest of their life is going to lead them.
Yeah, that is certainly true.
Chapman's still doing good work in his master's program here at Michigan State. Wetzel working on his film stuff. It's all really good things to see from the Michigan State program, and you got to imagine that a lot of that is on Izzo.
Yeah, and the support, you know, Tom Izzo being there, of course, all of Keenan's teammates, just about all of them, were also in the house to witness the film. I mean, the support that Keenan got last night was very, very well done, and also a testament to Spartan Nation in general. So, again, folks, you can check out my report on WKAR.org right now. Also, we have a few other videos on there right now as well. If you didn't catch Current Sports Radio yesterday, of course, I was at Senior Day for the MSU women's basketball team. You get to see all of the footage from Senior Day. That's also posted there. And also just general highlights from MSU's win over Rutgers, which was a great game. Great game on Sunday. So, and also, I believe Impact Sports should be posting something soon. I know I have the YouTube video here on my phone, but I don't know if it's posted to the website yet, Andrew.
We have a video edited. I don't believe it's up on the website yet, but at some point today, there will be a video of my interviews with some of the people that walked the red carpet last night with Keenan Wetzel, as well as some of the other guys that were involved in making the film. You can find that at impact89fm.org/sports.
Yeah, and you guys do one fantastic job with your video work. I mean, you guys make my videos look like child's play. I mean, my goodness.
I got a shout out real quick. Scott Wasserman is our video editing and video shooting guy.
Right.
He is outstanding.
Amazing.
He makes me look so much better than I actually am. I cannot say enough about what he does. And actually, our own Alex Sharg.
Yeah, Sharg
had a hand in editing this video as well. So
nice.
I got a lot of good people working around me, and they make me look, like I said, a whole lot better than I actually am.
It helps when you got a great team, right?
Absolutely.
All right, we'll keep it locked to, I believe, what, impactsports.com or
89fm.org/sports.
There you go. All right, folks. Well, before we hit the first break here, I want to talk about the Tigers real briefly here. The Detroit Tigers, I guess you can call it an extended headliner for today. The Detroit Tigers have signed Jabba Chamberlain to a one-year contract, bringing the free agent reliever back after an up-and-down season as their setup man in 2014. Now, Chamberlain, of course, who went 2-5 with a 3.57 ERA last year, he returned to Detroit's spring training facility yesterday, not completely clean-shaven, but without the scraggly, overgrown beard that made him so easily identifiable with the Tigers last year. Now, he is guaranteed a base salary. His guaranteed base salary is down from $2.5 million last year. The performance bonuses will be the same as last year, $100,000 each for 35, 40, 45, 50, and 55 games. He exceeded all of those marks in 2014. Now, there was a lot of mixed reactions from Twitterverse, from a lot of blogs. Actually, a few of my frat brothers texted me who are diehard Detroit Tigers fans once this move was made. Because, you know, Chamberlain, you know, he earned that eighth inning role in 2014, but really struggled down the stretch, posting a 4.97 ERA after the All-Star break and allowing 4 earned runs over 2 postseason appearances. So I'm beating a dead horse each and every year when I talk about the Detroit Tigers, and I just don't see them making any moves or improvements upon last year's bullpen that will make me positive, you know, have a positive outlook as to, you know, really saying that the Detroit Tigers will be better when it comes to their relief pitching. I don't know about the move. Going off the hard numbers and looking at Jabba's performance last year, there is nothing that will allude that, hey, you know, I'm not looking at the glasses half full, I should say, rather than half empty. Because, again, Jabba wasn't that great last year. Alex, I want to bring in Alex Shark now, the man behind the glass. Alex, what was your reaction upon hearing this news? Because for me, it was ho-hum, to say the least.
For me, it was kind of cabaret. It was like, okay, well, it's another relief pitcher that's been hit on before. And I was talking to Kyrie here, who was helping out with the show, and he was like, hey, I was happy when Jabba was gone from New York. It's almost like you're getting dumped with the bad birthday presents. It's like, oh, you know what? Let's give a rock for your birthday this year. And I'm not trying to harp on how horrible Jabba is. I don't think he's that bad of a person or a player, but in terms of them getting better with their relief pitching staff, It's the same old stuff, man. The same old stuff.
Yeah, I mean, it's the same old. I mean, many of the relievers that were present with the team last year are the same relievers that are present with the team this year. I mean, including Joe Nathan, Joaquin Soria, Al Albuquerque, and now, of course, Jabba Chamberlain. So, I don't know, man. I wouldn't be surprised. I guess I'll say, go on the record to say this. I wouldn't be surprised if the Tigers do have the same struggles that they've been having now for, what, the past 5 years. So, I don't know. We'll see. I hope some other moves are made. Again, the MLB season is such a long season. Other moves and trades can be made. Other shifting can be made throughout the year. And also, later on in the show, I want to encourage you all to weigh in on our current sports question of the day. Do you think that the baseball season is just far too long and drawn out? Because there are talks right now, including with the MLB commissioner, to consider a possible shortened season. So what do you think? Is the MLB year just way too long and drawn out? 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Well, let's hit our first break. When we come back, we will talk about the NFL Combine. Folks, we had a few Spartans who turned a lot of heads and improved their draft stock. We'll break down that, as well as talk about, of course, yes, Jameis Winston, who had one unbelievable outing out in Indy. All of that and so much more. You are listening to Current Sports right here on WKAR AM 870. Welcome back to Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. I want to remind you all that, hey, each and every Tuesday and Friday, man, there are some great high school hoops taking place from around the area, ladies and gents. And tonight, I will be filling in for 92-1, the team, doing play-by-play for the East Lansing and Grand Ledge High School boys varsity basketball game. Of course, Eric Doc Love will be alongside me to broadcast that game. Tip time is at 7 p.m. And I tell you what, man, if you have not watched a game out of the CAAC Blue Conference for boys high school hoops, you are missing out on life. Oh, my goodness. I don't know if you guys caught last week Friday's game between Lansing Everett and Grand Ledge, a battle for the top spot in the CAAC Blue. But what a game it was. What a game. And I was actually listening to that game on the radio on 92.1 The Team. And wow. I mean, my jaw was on the floor. It actually went to overtime. Everett squeaked out the win. And again, a game that went down to the wire. And, when I'm told from people who actually attended that game, from media members and fans alike, I mean, the atmosphere was unbelievable. In a tight gym, it was standing room only. You had players, you know, people on the public on the sideline witnessing the game. I mean, it was unbelievable. But the CAAC Blue is so competitive. Each and every game is so competitive. I'm looking forward to checking out, of course, East Lansing's boys basketball team tonight. Steve Finnemore has done a great job, has a lot of talent on that Trojan squad, going against a Grand Ledge team that is certainly competing
for a possible state championship. So, again, that game is tonight at 7 p.m. Tune in on the team, 92-1. Eric, Doc Love, and I will be bringing that game to you. Also, want to get out there that there will be no Current Sports TV this Wednesday. I know. Shed a tear, folks. I know. But we'll be back in action on, I believe, March 2nd. So I believe that's next week. I have a few guests in mind. It'll be an evergreen show that won't air that week, but we'll pocket it and bring that to you later on. So we'll also still be inviting the audience to come out to that taping. So keep it locked to WKR.org and also right here on AM870, and I'll be announcing that guest later on in the week. An interesting story here. Before I dive into the NFL Combine and bring up a few Spartans who turned a lot of heads, you know, I want to get your guys' thoughts on this as well, because this is a discussion that we've had before on Current Sports. And, of course, it really harps on whether or not students in college should be allowed to rush the basketball court. Now, Kansas coach, I don't know if you guys caught this game, but Kansas and Kansas State, a fantastic game. Kansas coach Bill Self said more needs to be done about safety of players after Kansas State fans rushed the court in Manhattan following Kansas State's 70-63 victory over the Jayhawks on Monday. Now, when the fans rushed onto the court after the final buzzer, Self found himself pinned near the scorer's table as he attempted to leave the floor. I don't know if you guys have seen the video of this, but it's pretty easy to Google or YouTube. But Self, I mean, my goodness. I mean, you could see one of the assistant coaches actually having one of the students in a headlock and then push the student off. I mean, it got a little scary after that game, folks, because it happened so suddenly. Now, the video shows, again, Kansas State fans running into Kansas players during the scrum. And, again, Kansas assistant coach Curtis Townsend putting that fan in a headlock and attempting to get the crowd away from his players. Self went on to say after the game, quote, "I wasn't nervous for me. There were several students that hit our players. I'm not saying like with a fist, but when you storm the court, you run in, you bump everybody, stuff like that. This has to stop," end quote. Now, Self said he is he was not against fans coming onto the court after the game, but was not pleased about the way security was handled during the court storming. So for me, you guys have always known, I've gone on the record numerous times to say that, hey, this is college. At the end of the day, you're going to have fans rushing the court when it comes to a big win, and deservedly so. I mean, college is a time in your life, you know, when it comes, especially students, where you have big moments and you want to celebrate those big moments. And rushing the court is like one of the ultimate forms of celebration. I'll never forget when I was a reporter at Channel 6 News, and, you know, during the coveted, of course, Michigan and Michigan State football rivalry, during that game, I believe, oh, man, what year was that? It had to be like 2011 or 2012, maybe 2013. Man, I must be getting old because my memory's kind of fading here. But you guys remember, Denard Robinson was the quarterback for Michigan. He leads Michigan down the field, and they win the game. They beat Michigan State at the Big House on a field goal. Right after that, fans came out of from everywhere. They immediately came out of the stands. They rushed the field. I mean, it is complete chaos. One of my favorite memories, actually, as a sports reporter, I'll never forget it, and I'm trying to do my stand-up. I remember it was Dave Parks, faux tie for Channel 6, who's still there, and also Kevin Gale, who's also still there at Channel 6. We're trying to do our reports, and we're getting barraged by Michigan fans just in the frame. They're hitting me left and right. I had a lot of fun with it. It was a fun time. So it is a fun time, but as anything in life, we know when it comes to celebrations, there is a fine line between having fun and making it real personal. It can get real dangerous, because if you look at that video, and I encourage you guys to go look at it, because it kind of, you know, reveals a different light on the situation for those that support court storming like I do. But it has to be done in a safe way, because immediately after that game, I mean, there was a no holds bar just herd. A herd of students that just came out of nowhere hitting Kansas players, bumping into the coach. Again, Self is actually pinned to the scorer's table doing this entire scrum. There is a way to do things, folks, and a way to make it safe and fun for everybody involved. I guess not for the opposing team that got beat, though. But at the same time, there's a way to do it. So there should be regulations set in place. Right now, it really blew my mind that the only conference in college that actually will discipline a team or a university for court storming, if it gets out of hand, is the SEC. That's the only conference that does it. I mean, the Big Ten and Big 12, Pac-10, all of those conferences, they do nothing when it comes to court storming. There is no repercussions that can ensue, except the SEC. So maybe the Big Ten may want to take another look at that. What do you think about it? 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Well, let's transition now. I want to talk about the NFL Combine. Before we do, I believe we have a caller right now on line one. It's our good friend, my man Ray. How you doing, Ray? Is Ray there? Do we have Ray?
Hello, are you there?
We got you. We got you, Ray. What's going on, my man?
You're talking about those people storming the courts. They've been doing this for years and years. Do you know what they're going to have? They're going to have a riot one of these days.
Yeah.
They're going to have a riot. You can't have a whole bunch of students out there, and some of them might be even drunk. Mm-hmm. Coming down on that floor like that without stepping on people's toes and crap.
Yeah, but, you know, when you look at it, Ray, I mean, that's kind of part – it's a part of the college experience. You know, I remember when I was a student at MSU, I mean, you know, it's one of those things that, you know, you'll never forget for the rest of your life. It's just a part of that college experience. What makes it so appealing when opposed to looking at the pros? You don't see any court storming in pro basketball or the NFL or anything like that. It's kind of fun. So at the same time, you don't want to take away the fun, but there is always a way to regulate that in a safer way. And I agree with Bill Self. Where was security during that time? Security could have easily regulated that thing, but they weren't there.
Well, that's what I'm worried about. I understand the students. It's nice to see the experience, but all it takes is a few kids get out of control, and you could have quite a riot on
your
hands.
Yeah, it could easily get out of control. I definitely see that side of things as well.
But Maryland's playing Wisconsin. Wisconsin at Maryland tonight. Does Maryland have any kind of inside game? I know you played them once or twice. They haven't played Michigan Saturday. They better play better. I couldn't believe I got home in the last 2 minutes and Ohio State was losing by 20 points when it was down to about 4 or 5 by the time I watched the last 2 minutes. But I couldn't believe Ohio State, with the inside game they got, they couldn't kick the ball inside like you guys did.
Yeah, you know, it was very impressive. And, you know, that's something that we'll also talk about later on in the show. I mean, because I really think that this Michigan men's basketball team, despite all of the struggles and despite the cards they were dealt this year, of course, with two of their preeminent players out, I mean, it's been impressive how they've still been able to compete. And you got to give a lot of credit to, of course, guys like Spike Albrick. Spike Albrick, I don't know if you watched the entire game of that game, Ray. But
I missed it. I only got the last 2 minutes of the game.
Yeah, Spike was fantastic. He was fantastic. He kind of put the team on his shoulders, hit some big shots down the line. He was great. So, yeah, it was really surprising, though. I mean, you know, when you talk about Michigan State, though, I mean, they do sort of have their inside presence is something that was questionable for me coming into the year. But certain big guys like Brandon Dawson, of course, Matt Costello, even Gavin Schilling from game to game, they have become better down the stretch. And, where you know, if you don't have anybody to match up with, those guys are able to bruise you. But, I mean, yeah, I think that, you know, Maryland, as far as Maryland is concerned, one of the big names that stands out to me is, of course, Teron Petway, who is a fantastic guard. He's had kind of a roller coaster type of a year. He burned MSU earlier this season, but he's a fantastic player who Michigan will actually meet up with very, very soon.
Hey, whatever happened to Warren Sapp was supposed to go into court yesterday. What happened with that?
I am not sure. I had no idea that Warren Sapp went to court yesterday, but how crazy is that situation, right? I have to look that one up. I'm curious myself to find out that one, Ray.
Can you look that up real quick, see what happened on that court deal?
Yeah, let's. We'll have our interns in the back of the glass kind of look that one up. But, yeah, man, Warren Sapp, you know, he was in a hotel and – we ran down exactly the details of that story, but that's a mess. It kind of reminds me eerily to the Greg Anthony situation. Greg Anthony was kind of caught, I guess, with the same charge, I guess you could say.
Well, I never could figure out why they even allow that in the phone book, because girls could come out and scam you, and it's 2 against 1. I'm not saying that he didn't do it, you know, physically put his hands on them, but, you know, they could lie too, you know.
Right. No, that is true. That is true. And there's always two sides to every story.
He never got fired from the NFL Network, did he?
What's that?
He got fired from the NFL
Network.
Yeah,
he's fired. He's done with the NFL Network. Yeah.
Yeah, I just wondered. Hopefully, Deion Sanders and Kurt Warner can get to him and help him get another job and get his life set with Jesus, you know?
Right. Yeah.
I don't wish that on my worst enemy, anybody happens to go through situations like that. But they've got to learn, too, you know?
Right.
The consequences of their actions, you know?
And, Ray, the only thing that we're seeing here is that the police report detailing what Warren Sapp alleged happened was released, and there's a lot of details concerning that whole entire situation.
So they haven't went to court yet.
I don't believe that. At least I'm not seeing that. At least I don't see that.
I tell you what, though, I'm getting pretty impressed with your front line. If you can do this in the, when the tournament starts, you could make some noise.
Yeah, you know, and how ironic is it? I mean, we say it every year, you know, January, February, Izzo, April. I mean, this team always starts to click right around this time of the year, and Izzo starts to figure out what lineups are working. I think it was a genius move to start Tum-Tum over Travis Trice. Travis, you know, comes off the bench and sort of settles into that two-guard spot. But, yeah, I mean, Michigan State has gotten better. I think their defense is something that hasn't been talked about a lot. That's also been a big reason why they are winning games right now and are on this stretch that they are currently on right now, Ray.
How many players are you losing? Dawson's a senior. How many other are you losing?
Yeah, Trice is also a senior. Other than those two, I think pretty much everybody is, you know, sophomores and juniors.
Oh, okay. So you got some good looks for the future.
Yeah, certainly.
Okay, thanks a lot for your time, buddy.
All right, thanks a lot, Ray. Appreciate that. All right, folks, again, you can weigh in on anything that's on your sports noggin or anything that we've talked about here on Current Sports by simply dialing 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. I want to bring up the NFL Combine now and transition into that discussion because I tell you what, there were a few Spartans who have turned a lot of heads at Lucas Oil Stadium down in Indianapolis. Now, it was a record-setting performance for Michigan State cornerback Trey Wayans at the NFL Combine on the final day of testing, already rated the top corner entering the NFL Combine by ESPN's Mel Kiper Jr. and NFL Network's Mike Mayock. Wayans further validated his case as the top player at his position in the 2015 NFL draft class with his showing on Monday. Now, Wayans ran the fastest 40-yard dash time ever recorded by a Spartan at the NFL Combine at 4.31. Man, is that quick or what? Now, it's a time that also was the fastest by any corner and the second fastest overall in 2015. The video of Wayans, if you haven't seen it, it is very, very impressive, and I think he just added to his draft stock once more with that performance that he had at the Combine. I know we have a bite here from Mike Mayock on Wayans. Can we cue it up right now, guys? I want to play that right here.
I always know what I get from Michigan State players, especially on the defensive side of the ball. Trey Wayans, to me, is a press corner. He's not afraid. He's used to man coverage. He tackles. He's well-coached. He's a first-round press corner. He could be the first corner off the board.
Yeah, he could be, you know. And Trey Wayans, I didn't realize how athletic he was until I started to see these eye-popping numbers at the Combine. Again, a 4.31 40. Time for the best 40 time by a Big Ten player in the last 10 years. I mean, that's unbelievable. The last to do it, of course, was Justin King. He was a cornerback for Penn State University. And, you know, I think Wayans' size, I mean, again, looking at, because I saw, you know, a bit of the film from Wayans' outing. Again, he's 6 feet, 186 pounds. He's very agile. He's speedy. He's quick. And, again, he's reported as the top corner in the draft right now. I think Trey Wayans, I could easily see him being a top 15, maybe a top 10 pick, you know, and that's something I kind of laughed at last month. But, you know, looking at his performance, I think he kind of validated how special he can be. Other Spartans who kind of impressed, Jeremy Langford. Langford, I mean, he ran a 4.42 40, the best of any running back. How about that? He can also catch the football as well. He put his hands on display throughout his time in Indy as well. Here's Todd Mache on Jeremy Langford.
This is a running back group that I thought as a whole struggled, and a lot of times were good, but not as good as you would expect. Jeremy Langford was the one guy I thought who ran as well or maybe even better than you expected. Ran in the 4.4s, had a great 10-yard split. His overall workout was really good, and you see that explosiveness on tape. He's someone who's grown on me. The more I watch of him, the more I appreciate. He doesn't lose yards. He's always falling forward at the end of runs. He can catch the ball. I think that he's maybe an underrated prospect at this point, and he's starting to move up. And to me, early in day three, he could wind up being a steal in this class.
Yeah, Jeremy Langford, my son, you just improved your draft stock as well. Very impressive outing. Again, a 4.42 40, best of any running back. He showed that he has great hands and catch the football as well. You know, and looking at this is such a golden period, I think, for Coach D'Antonio and the MSU football team when it comes to, I guess, you know, producing NFL talent. I mean, if you look at last year, guys like Darquez Denard, who was a big high pick. You know, look at the success of Le'Veon Bell right now in the NFL.
And now you're starting to see, I think, more people starting to pay attention to the Spartans at the Combine each and every year with a performance such as Wayne's, you know, with a performance like, you know, Jeremy Langford. Also, you know, Curtis Drummond. I mean, Curtis Drummond was also very impressive. He actually had the highest vertical jump of any safety at 39.5 inches. Curtis Drummond, very, very athletic. Tony Lippett, he also showcased his versatility, not as just a wide receiver, but also as a defensive back, a position that we saw D'Antonio near the end of the year put Tony Lippett at. I mean, you know, showing that he could play on both sides of the football, excuse me. And also Keith Mumphrey. Keith Mumphrey is a player, you know, also a very solid and athletic guy. Right now, Keith Mumphrey is being slated in the later rounds, but as a draft prospect nonetheless. So I think this is such a golden age because now you're starting to see scouts, NFL GMs, and presidents pay more attention to the talent that State is able to churn out at the next level now. And again, it started for me, you know, when looking at Darqueze Dennard, who was the top corner in last year's draft, and now possibly in Trey Wayans now also. I mean, you know, now you have, two top corners coming out the draft from Michigan State. I mean, that's unbelievable. Unbelievable right there. Also, I want to transition now from the Spartans to my overall NFL Combine takeaways because I tell you what, you can't turn on your television or read your newspaper or turn on talk sports radio without hearing the name Jameis Winston. Jameis Winston, of course, a player that many considered to be a knucklehead nonetheless throughout his college football career. We all know about him stealing the crab legs, him jumping on the table in the student union and yelling out obscene comments. You know, the situation, the alleged rape case that he went through when he was in college as well. Three big incidents that really kind of, you know, for me, and we debated it here on the show, you know, made many people look at Jameis Winston and say, okay, this kid has some problems. But I tell you what, you know, looking at the reports of Jameis Winston out of the combine, first off, let's look at the intangibles of his play on the field. I'm constantly hearing that his footwork, his passing accuracy was the best top dog out of any quarterback who auditioned their talents out in Indianapolis. Also, something that was very, very eye-popping to me, and you talk about, because that was a big question for me. I think that at the end of the day, talent is going to outweigh anything else that is speculated about a player when it comes to any sport in the draft. If the player is good, you better believe that a team is going to take the quote-unquote risk and draft that individual. Winston's personality, though, is something that I'm reading about left and right. It completely shined throughout these, three or four days at the combine. I even heard from multiple analysis out there, including Todd Machey and Mike Mayock, draft analysis everywhere, that Jameis Winston, his personality and the way he carried himself, his overall demeanor was being compared to that of a Peyton Mannings. I'm not kidding, folks. I am not kidding here. I mean, that was something that really kind of turned my head. So when you look at it, you know, I think that Jameis Winston actually, when you look at his overall performance, I think Jameis Winston is going to be drafted overall number one. You know, you look at the pick who has the Tampa Bay Buccaneers have it right now. They have a glaring need at the quarterback position. When you look at what Jameis Winston was able to do throughout the NFL Combine, man, was it impressive. Throwing to receivers also that, you know, he doesn't have chemistry with these wide receivers. That's why it's so interesting to me. When I look at the Combine and look at quarterbacks audition and, you know, they put on these different passing drills, it's not like they're passing to receivers who they have this undenying chemistry with. You know, these aren't receivers that Jameis Winston threw to when he was at Florida State University. This is an entirely different core. And Jameis Winston, I'm seeing reported, you know, he put on a show. So I think, you know, he, and it was, you know, the big storyline here was Jameis Winston, Marcus Mariota, who should be drafted number one in the NFL draft. I think with the performance that Jameis Winston had, I think he just kind of just put the leg up on Marcus Mariota here. So I think he will go number one overall. I think he will, folks. And I can't really argue, you know, that he shouldn't. You know, I think he's a kid that hopefully has learned through the past transgressions that he had at Florida State. And, you know, will carry himself with a better overall, I should say, character, with better overall character at the next level. And I do hope, I wish him great success. Also, you know, when looking at Marcus Mariota, who is that other quarterback, Jameis Winston, Marcus Mariota, those are the two names you've been hearing left and right. Mariota's athleticism, when you talk about his overall performance, that was something that was on total display throughout his time and his performances in Indianapolis. He ran a 4.52 40 time. had a 36-inch vertical. That is very, very impressive for the quarterback position, folks. And that's no surprise. Marcus Mariota is the ultimate improviser. That's what he really thrived off of when he was at Oregon. I mean, he was a spectacular player. When you get him out the pocket, he is able to improvise, use his legs, use his athleticism to get past the pylons. I mean, we'll get past that first down marker or past the pylons. He's fantastic at that. And, you know, I thought it was very refreshing to see two high-profile prospects out of college showcase their talent. Because there are times in the NFL Combine year after year where you have these top prospects that opt out of displaying their talent, whether it be in the 40, whether it be in the vertical, whether it be in throwing the football. But these two players, Jameis Winston and Marcus Mariota, said, hey, we're going to show you everything we got. We're going to do every competition that you throw out there for us. We're going to showcase our talent. We're not afraid of the big lights. And I think that also is a big key to this and a reason why both of these players will be drafted pretty high. Also want to shout out the edge rushers in this NFL Combine who had some redonkulous numbers. I don't know if you guys know Clemson's Vic Beasley. And if you haven't seen Clemson's Vic Beasley, why don't you do yourself a favor and Google his name. And I tell you what, he is a physical specimen. I mean, this kid has an NFL body, and he's ready. He's ready to hit the gridiron right now. Clemson's Vic Beasley, he ran a 4.53 40 time, 35 reps in the bench press, and had great change of direction times, folks. Vic Beasley was a man amongst boys out in Indianapolis. Also, I mean, I could go on and on here because there were some numbers. I mean, when you run a 4.5 or a 4.4 40 time as an edge rusher, I mean, that's unbelievable. That's unbelievable speed. Florida's Dante Fowler, he ran a 4.4 40 at 261 pounds. Nebraska's Randy Gregory had a 4.64 40 time. Kentucky's Alvin Bud Dupree had a 4.56 40 time and a 42-inch vertical, along with an 11-feet, 6-inch broad jump. Kentucky's Alvin Bud Dupree was a man. And also UCLA's Omagwa Ozigwa, he ran a 4.62 40. I mean, that is all impressive stuff, folks. So it's going to be interesting when you sit down. I mean, the draft is still some time away. But when you sit down and look at these players, I think all the names I just listed here can go in the first round and will go quite easily. So, all right. So you got a few Spartans increasing their draft. I guess you can say their draft stock, and also a lot of names out there. Again, I'm going to go ahead and say it. I think Jameis Winston will go number one overall. When you look at those numbers and you look at how he performed overall at the Combine, I mean, it's hard to argue against choosing Jameis Winston if you're the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So, all right, folks, what do you think? 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Let's hit our second break of the show. When we come back, we'll dive into Top 5 Tuesday. What are exactly the top five things to be positive about from this year's University of Michigan men's hoop year? I tell you what, they got a big win over Ohio State on Sunday, man. Big win. And what do you think about the MLB? Should they consider shortening the year? We'll talk about all of that and so much more. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Current Sports, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. Well, we have, man, time flies when you're having fun. Just 10 minutes left in the show. Also, again, folks, you can weigh in. Call in 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Also, go to facebook.com/currentsports. Leave us a comment there. I'll read it live here on the air. And you can even tweet me at AlMartinWKR. If you don't want to tweet me, hey, at least shoot me a follow, all right? I'm trying to get my followers up here. All right, well, I have one comment to read, actually, from our Facebook page. This comes from Nicholas Blakowski. Nick wants to weigh in on the MSU men's basketball year, and he believes, quote, they are securely off the bubble. They were looking at an 11 or 12 play-in game a few weeks ago, but now a 7, possibly as high as 6, ranking, or I should say seed. So there you have that. Thanks a lot, Nick. And I think I totally agree with Nick right now. I think Michigan State, if they continue the role that they're on right now, they can certainly, you know, have a 7 or 6 seed going into the NCAA tournament. And, you know, if they were an 11th or 12th seed, I mean, yeah, they would have had to play in a play-in game, which I think are very, very entertaining to say the least. But, you know, I think Michigan State is constantly improving their stock. And, yeah, I think you can take them off the bubble. You know, I think mathematically right now they're not totally off the bubble. But the way this team is playing, yeah, I think they will certainly make the NCAA tournament. So thanks a lot, Nicholas, for your comment there. Well, it's Tuesday. We have a lot of fun each and every Tuesday here on Current Sports. We bring to you guys a top five sporting topic. We actually dub it Top 5 Tuesday. We've debated who are the top five point guards of all time, who are the top five quarterbacks in MSU Spartan history, what are the top five moments from the NFL football year. We have a lot of fun with Top 5 Tuesday, and today's Top 5 Tuesday has a maize and blue type of a feel. We're going to bring to you the top five things to be positive about from this year's U of M Man's Hoop year thus far. Here we go. 5-4-3-2-1. Oh man, you gotta love the Top 5 Tuesday music, right? I think, you know, those guys. I mean, I just randomly found that when we were putting together this segment not too long ago. I just randomly found that music on YouTube, and I tell you what, it's a hilarious video from that music. They sound like the Beatles, don't they? But kind of love the top. I always have a fun time with Top 5 Tuesday, man. All right, here we go. Well, again, let's dive into the MSU, the U of M. Don't want to make that mistake. The U of M men's basketball year. What exactly are the top five things to be positive about from this year's year of on the hardwood for U of M thus far? Now, you know, when looking at the hard facts here, they right now, John Beilein's squad is 14-13 overall, 7-8 in Big Ten play. I'm going to start with number five, and it has to be, folks, beating Ohio State at home on Sunday. What a game. I'm really remiss that I didn't get a chance to check out that game. I was actually at the Breslin Center covering the MSU women's basketball game against Rutgers for senior day. But I was following that game very intently on my iPhone, and I just kept looking down. I mean, I was, you know, there was a point in that game I questioned how involved I was in covering the women's game, because I was so, so locked in finding out who would win that game. A very entertaining game nonetheless. Michigan able to pull out that game 64-57, the final. And get this, they haven't lost to OSU at home in Ann Arbor dating back to like 2010, 2011. I mean, that is very, very impressive. And Ohio State, pretty decent team this season. So actually, you know, and that leads into my number four. So number five, I mean, you know, that's Michigan's arguably biggest rival. You know, they like to downplay the whole Michigan and Michigan State rivalry, calling Michigan State their little brother. But, you know, Ohio State, that rivalry is so, so big. So anytime Michigan can get a win over OSU in any sport, it is big news. And here's actually point guard for U of M, Spike Albrick, on that last game.
That felt like a rivalry game. You know, we played in these games before, and we didn't bring that energy and that passion. And I thought we did a really good job of that today. And our coaches did a great job preparing us, you know, the past few days. And we played, you know, with a lot of heart today.
Yeah, again, Spike Albrick, and that leads right into my number four. Spike Albrick has been just incredible throughout this year. To see, you know, Spike Albrick, and I was one of the doubters on Spike. You know, when I first saw Spike play, I'm sitting there saying, okay, he's not that big, he's not that strong, you know, he can shoot the ball a little bit, but he's not a star. He's not a game changer. He's not a playmaker. And I'm sort of eating those words right now, you know, because this season he's kind of been forced into a role where he has to be more assertive, he has to be a facilitator, and also a scorer at the same time. Because of the injuries on this squad, more so the injury to Derek Walton Jr., who, you know, was the starting point guard for U of M to start the year, but of course he's been out with injuries. Spike has taken this role in stride and has not really missed a beat. He's emerged as a leader. He's emerged as a key player who isn't afraid to live up to the moment. You saw him hit big shot after big shot on Sunday against OSU. Impressive stuff. He has 16 points, 5 assists, and get this, no turnovers. That's the biggest thing about Spike Albrick. When you talk about a point guard, you know, that position, you know, you have the ball, you know, more so than any other position on the basketball court. You are the creator. You're the quarterback of the team. And for a point guard, I mean, you deal with so many pressures throughout the game. And for a point guard to have no turnovers, I mean, it's like a quarterback having no fumbles throughout the entire game. Or no interceptions, I should say. It's unbelievable. It's remarkable. And Spike is a player who takes care of the basketball. He is a coach's dream. So looking at the ceiling of Spike Aubrey, I don't know how high it is, but it keeps raising game by game for me. So number four is Spike Aubrey for me. Number three is, you know, the question that we've debated here on the show. What exactly are the goals now for this U of M men's basketball team? I mean, with everything that's gone down this year, I mean, they're 14-13. They're 7-8 overall. Right now, the goal is to make a lot of noise when it comes to the NIT. First off, you got to make the NIT. And right now, they are eligible for that, seeing as though they are over 500. And, you know, when look at the rest of the schedule here, they go on to play Maryland, who is the number 14th team in the nation, who sit, you know, near the top of the Big Ten right now. Then you go on to play Northwestern and Rutgers. Northwestern right now is actually third from last in the Big Ten Conference. Rutgers is dead last in the Big Ten. So, you know, you got those three games coming up. You know, Maryland, that's going to be a tall order, a very tall order. That would be one incredible storyline if U of M beats Maryland. But let's say they don't. They become then 14-14 overall, 500, and then you play two teams who are amongst the last in the Big Ten Conference, two teams that you can beat. That ideally puts them over 500 and eligible for the NIT. So, you know, for Michigan to go into NIT, that's what you got to shoot for now, because I just think the NCAA tourney is kind of, it's just unrealistic at this point. Unrealistic at this point. Of course, it would be fine and dandy. It would be great if Michigan made the tournament. And, it's just so amazing that, you know, the cards that they've been dealt, how they've dealt with those cards, that's truly remarkable. So number three, you got to keep your head up because, hey, NIT isn't so bad. You're still in the postseason nonetheless. Number two, Derek Walton Jr. and Caris LeVert, they still have time left in a maize and blue jersey. Derek Walton Jr., he's only a sophomore. Caris LeVert, arguably the best player on that team, he's only a junior. And looking at how other players have stepped up amidst their absence other than Spike Aubrey, I mean, Muhammad Ali Abdul-Rahman has certainly had some games where he just said, whoa. I mean, this kid can ball. He's very athletic. Also, Aubrey Dawkins. He's also a player who's definitely emerged as a primetime athlete. So, you know, Derek Walton Jr., though, I mean, and Caris LeVert, two players who are great, great assets to John B. Lyon's team. They are very, very young, and you got a lot to look forward to next season. And numero uno for me has to certainly fall to a coach that, again, has shown that he is amongst one of the best coaches in the nation. There are not many coaches out there who could, again, be dealt a blow where, again, your point guard goes out for the rest of the year, your best player goes out for the rest of the year, and you still compete. And, you know, and again, looking at, again, they're only 14-13 right now, but again, those numbers are kind of skewed because they have been in a lot of games where they've just lost, you know, in the waning moments, you know, because they have certainly been in a lot of competitions where, in those final moments of the game, they just kind of, they can't close it out. They can't close it out. So, I mean, just imagine if they close out those games. I mean, we may be talking about NCAA tournament for this team with the roster that they have, which is not formidable to say the least. So, John Beilein, hats off to you, my man. He's not my number one reason why you have to be positive about this year, because he has stuck and done, you know, and made the necessary adjustments and coaching adjustments throughout the year to make sure that this team is competitive night in and night out. So number one is John Beilein for me. All right, folks. Well, guess what? We're out of time, but I want to give a special shout out to Andrew Hayes of Impact Sports for joining me on the show today. Also to Keenan Wetzel, Tom Izzo, and Brandon Dawson for giving me their time yesterday at the NCG Theater in Lansing. Thanks so much to all of you out there also for tuning in to today's Current Sports. You've been listening to Current Sports with me, Al Martin on WKR AM 870 East Lansing. As always, take care. Have a fantastic day and be easy, people.